But I ask you to turn your Bible with me here this morning, if you would, to Psalm 119, verse 164. We began this message last week, looked at two of the five truths that are involved with it. And here this morning, I intend to give the second and final part, the concluding part of the message. Psalm 119, verse 164. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. The psalmist there, in Psalm 119, 164, near the end of this psalm, the longest psalm in the Psalms, the longest chapter, some would call it, in the Bible, Psalm 119, 164, the psalmist proclaimed, "Seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments." Seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. Let's have a word of prayer. The title of this two-part message, Seven Times a Day Do I Praise Thee. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would guide us now as we look at three further reasons why we ought to praise You, why we ought to lift up our heart in praise, not just once a day, but multiple times a day for the truth, for the wisdom of Your Word. Lord, guide us now as we look further into this psalm and further into that which the psalmist proclaims about his praise to You, his thanks to You for the Word of God, and under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, guided to present it here in Scripture for all of us, by which all of us may be exhorted, by which all of us may be edified, by which all of us may be instructed and guided to do as we ought. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned last week in introduction, the psalmist spoke about lifting up praise unto the Lord his God four times throughout this psalm. He did so in verse number 7, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." Here again in the verse we read already, Psalm 119 verse 164, so near the beginning of the psalm, and then three more times near the end of the psalm, 164, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." In verse 171, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." Verse number 175, "Let my soul live and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me." And then one other time as well, the psalmist spoke, just one time in the psalm, the entirety of the psalm, one time, the psalmist spoke about giving thanks unto the Lord. And we find that in verse number 62. Psalm 119, verse 62, he says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." Now, in all five of these passages of Scripture, all five of these verses here in Psalm 119, we find a thread that connects them together. Obviously, one thread that connects them is the psalmist praising and giving thanks to God. Four times he says, "I praise thee." One time, "I give thanks unto thee." But in all five of these cases, that praise and that thanksgiving is connected to the truth and wisdom of God's Word. Certainly, there are a multitude of reasons why God, the Lord our God, the Lord our Savior, is worthy of our praise, is due glory unto His name. Amen? For a multitude of reasons. But in Psalm 119, the psalmist expresses one basic reason why he was praising God seven times a day. Not just once a day, not just once every day, but multiple times every day. He says, "Because of, for the reason of, your righteous judgments, your truth, your wisdom, the righteousness of the Word of God, and what it may teach me in my life." Now, as we look at all five of these passages, each one reveals to us a specific reason for praising God, giving thanks to God for His Word. We've looked at two of them already. In Psalm 119, verse 171 and 172, the psalmist said, "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word." In what manner? In a manner of praise. He just said that in verse 171. "For, because all thy commandments are righteousness." We should praise the Lord for the righteous wisdom of His Word. The psalmist said, I'll praise You when I'm taught. When You teach me Your Word, I'm going to praise You. And the reason I'm going to praise You, lift up my voice and speak praises unto You, is because the Word that You teach me is righteous. There's wisdom in the Word of God, but it's righteous wisdom. Amen? And every point of righteous truth, every point of righteous wisdom that God has given us in this inspired book, Holy Spirit inspired Word of God, is worthy of praise unto Him. It's worthy for us to obey and guide our lives and direct our lives in accord with His Word. But as we do that, we find how wonderful, how helpful the Word of God is. And we give praise. When do you praise someone? If Wesley walked up to me and he cuffed me in the arm, caused pain shooting up and down my arm, I'd say, oh, thank you, Wesley. That was such a wonderful act of kindness. Actually, no, I wouldn't do that. The rest of you might say, way to go, Wesley. You might praise him for that. When do you praise someone? Do you praise someone when they do something you view as negative to you? Is that generally when we praise people? When do we generally give thanks and give praise to someone? When they accomplish something positive, when they accomplish something helpful. Well, the reason why the psalmist is praising God seven times a day for the Word of God is because he finds the Word of God, its instruction, its promises, its truths, its doctrine to be helpful in his life. Amen? And so wouldn't he want to say thank you to God for every time God helps him, every time God gives him a principle from the Word of God that guides his life in righteousness? He says, thank you for that. I wouldn't have known that on my own. I wouldn't have gleaned that wisdom. I wouldn't have followed that direction on my own. I would have gone the wrong way. But God's warnings and God's instructions and God's guidance and God's promises and God's truths and God's wisdom from His Word have given me a reason not only to direct my life aright, but to praise God for helping me direct my life aright. So we should praise the Lord for the righteous wisdom of His Word. But then we looked at a second one last week. We should praise the Lord for the transforming work of His Word. For the transforming work of His Word. We go back to verse number 7 for this one. In Psalm 19, verse number 7, the psalmist said, I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. In the verse we looked at, he was talking about God's work of teaching. Now he's focused on, in verse number 7, he's focused on his own process of learning. And notice how he connects together that as he learns the Word of God, he has an upright heart. I will praise You with what kind of heart? An upright heart. How did I get an upright heart? Because I learned the Word of God. I learned not just what it says, but I learned to do what it says. I learned to live by it. And as I live by it, it transforms my heart. It does a work in me. Amen? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. What is the tool that God has given to do that work of renewing our mind, to transform us into the image of Christ? It's the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse number 7, I believe it is, says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting, changing, transforming the soul, the character of our inner man. God's Word is that tool. We should praise the Lord for the transforming work of His Word. Psalm 19, verse 7, I will praise Thee. I will praise Thee with uprightness of character, with uprightness of heart, because I've learned Your Word. What am I praising God for? I'm praising God for the Word of God that did its work to bring me to a place of uprightness, that transformed me to the place of uprightness. That's what I'm praising God for. That was number 2. Number 3 now. new to our list. We spent a bit of time on the first two, not quite as much time on each of the other three, but number three on our list. We should praise the Lord for the comforting warranty of His Word. Now, next to warranty, you might put in parentheses promises. But, you know, all the other points, I have 5 points, and all 4 of the other points started with a W, so I had to find a word that fit, you know, so alliteration. I don't do that if, you know, 4 out of 5 don't alliterate, I don't try. But if 4 out of 5 do, then I try to figure out how to make that 5th one work as well. So the warranty of His Word, or the promises. Psalm 119, verse 62. Turn there now. Psalm 119, verse number 62. It says, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments." Now, you might just read that and say, okay, what does that have to do with God's promises? I mean, that sounds a lot like what He says later in 164, and He says, 7 times a day do I praise Thee for Thy righteous judgments, or because of Thy righteous judgments, 7 times a day, and now it's also at least 1 time at night. But here I would have you to notice this. The psalmist does not mention nighttime very often in this psalm. But when he does, he mentions it this way. Only in this verse and in 2 others does the psalmist make reference unto the nighttime. By considering the context of these other 2 occasions, we may discern the point of reference for verse 62. The first occasion wherein the psalmist makes reference unto the nighttime is in verse 55. And in the surrounding context of Psalm 119, verses 49 through 56, this is what he says. "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." This is Psalm 119, verse 49, down to verse number 56. "Remember the word unto thy servant." What word? The word of promise. "Upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." Now, if you look at this whole context, he says, "I remembered thy name in the night." But what led up to that? I find hope in the Word of God. I find comfort in the Word of God. In the promises that you have given me from the Word of God, even though I face affliction in the daytime, I can come to the night, the end of the day, and in the Word of God, I find promises that help me to understand that the afflictions ultimately will not win. The Lord my God is ultimately in charge. He has promises to me as a faithful servant, and they give me hope for the next day, and they give me comfort from the day that I've just come through. Brethren, this is the truth that he's revealing to us, the psalmist, about the nighttime. The nighttime is a time where he reviews the previous day and where he begins to think about the coming day. And you know, if you've just come through a day full of affliction, number one, you need comfort for what you've come through. And number two, you need hope that tomorrow is worth getting up to. And you know where the psalmist found his comfort and his hope? You say, well, he found it in the Lord. Yes, he did. He did find it in the Lord. But by what tool did he find it in the Lord? By going to the Word of God. As he got into the Word of God and met with God through God's Word, he found those promises, he found those truths that helped him have hope and comfort in his times of affliction. Because that's what God's Word does. It reveals to us who are faithful. Now listen, to the wicked and to those who are unfaithful, the Word of God just gives rebuke. It just gives reproof. It just gives conviction of heart. But for those who are walking in faithfulness, no matter what they face, the Word of God is the source of comfort and the source of hope that, to which they may go and say, "Oh Lord God, show me something that lifts my heart again. Show me something that shows me that tomorrow is worth going into and that I can walk again with God." Now, God's Word doesn't necessarily say you just came through a bad day and you read the Word of God and it gives promises that tomorrow will definitely be better. No problems tomorrow, or 10 problems today, only 9 tomorrow. Wouldn't that be cool? Because then I could go to the Word of God next day and say 9 today, 8 tomorrow. And eventually I can get to 0. And we could just stay there. Well, that's not what the Word of God's going to do. You don't read the Word of God and find no problems anymore. It definitely does not say that. You know what it does say? It says something else. It says, what you just came through, God had a purpose in that. God has a good purpose in that. And God is working out His good purpose in your life and in the lives of others. And tomorrow you can have hope, because although you may face more affliction tomorrow, God will walk with you. God will give you His grace. God will be there every moment. If you're walking as a faithful servant, you're with Him and He's with you. You're not facing the affliction alone. Amen? He doesn't promise all problems to go away. He doesn't. He does promise that He will not leave us nor forsake us, that He is there to support us, that His grace is sufficient if we'll walk with Him. And you know what will move us to get close to Him? The Word of God. The psalmist understood that. He was going through terrible affliction. Terrible affliction. But he'd come to the Word of God. He'd come out of the daytime, come to the night, have a little bit of quiet time, and instead of just laying on his bed and worrying for the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours getting no sleep, he spent some time in the Word of God and found hope and comfort. You see it again in Psalm 119, verse 145 through verse 148. Turn there if you would. We'll come back to the verse with which we began here. Psalm 119, verse 145. He said, "I cried with my whole heart." He's under affliction. He's crying out in prayer. "I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee. Save me. Deliver me. Help me. And I shall keep thy testimonies. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried." Okay. So thus far, what we're reading is he's praying through the night. But what does he say at the end of verse 147? Even as he lifts up his cry in prayer unto God, "I hoped in thy word." I'm in affliction. No doubt it's right to be praying about it. No doubt. The psalmist is crying to God. He cries to God through the night time, but even as he cries through the night, it's so heavy on his heart, such a burden. Even as he cries through the night, he says, "I've spent some time in your word as well. And as I spend time in your word, this is what I find. There is a God who hears. There is a God who cares. There is a God who loves. There is a God who will walk with me. There is a God whose grace is sufficient. I find hope in the Word of God." And so the psalmist was moved. Remember, this is what he's doing in the night. Only 3 times in the psalm does he mention the nighttime. One time he mentions the nighttime and says, "I spent time in the Word of God at night, found comfort and hope." Another time he says, "I spent time praying in the night, but also with the Word of God, and that's where I found my hope." And so when he says in Psalm 119 and in verse number 62, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." Why was he, the psalmist, in this context of Psalm 119, having only mentioned the nighttime 3 times, why does he wake up at night? Because of his problems. Because of his afflictions. Because of his tribulations. He wakes up to pray. He wakes up to spend some time in the Word. And as he prays to God and spends time in the Word of God, what does he find in the Word? He unburdens his heart to God. Then he gets in the Word, and what does he find? Comfort and hope. So what does he do when he finds comfort and hope? Praises God for it. We should praise the Lord our God for the warranty of His Word, the promises that give us comfort and hope. Number four, we should praise the Lord for the awesome wonder of His Word. For the awesome wonder. The point before, for the comforting warranty of His Word, and now for the awesome wonder of His Word. Psalm 19, 161 down to verse 164. That's the verse which with we've begun each message. Starting verse for this message. Psalm 119 verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now in these verses, the psalmist mentions two negative things. He says there are princes, there are people in authority, there's people in position that are persecuting me. And I could focus on that. I could focus on the affliction of their persecution. I could focus on the unfairness of it. I could focus on the unrighteousness of it. I could focus on their wicked character. And earlier in the psalm, he notes their character and he prays and cries out to God how much it burdens him that people are going astray from God's will. But here the psalmist says, they are persecuting me. That's a fact. But that's not what I'm going to focus on right now. He says, I don't like the lying and the deception and the meanness and the maliciousness that they have. I'm against that. I don't want that in my life. By the way, I will point this out, that if you focus on that, the meanness, the maliciousness, the deception, the lying, the way that people are, the way that people mistreat one another, the way people mistreat you, eventually you'll probably become like them. Because you know what the temptation is. They're mistreating me. They're mean to me. They're doing all of these things. And you know what? I think it's time for me to... Help me out. What's the temptation here? If I'm focused on this, what am I going to do? Get them back. And you know what I become? Just like them. But the psalmist says, yeah, they're persecuting me. That's a fact. That's the truth. But I hate their way of life and I don't want to become like them. Instead, I'm going to set my focus on something else. He says, I stand in awe of thy word. To picture this, Wesley, come up here and be a persecutor. All right, you stand right there, right there. All right. The word of God, we're going to use to illustrate God's word here. The one that's on the table up front here. And the psalmist could be focused this way. The persecutor. Go ahead, persecute me. Okay, he's persecuting me, all right? He's picking on me, he's persecuting me. And so I can focus on that. And if I focus on that, he keeps doing it. What am I likely to do at some point? All right? But the psalmist says, that's not what I'm doing. They are persecuting me. Now persecute me. No, don't persecute me. All right. So he's persecuting me, but instead of the psalmist facing this way, the psalmist says, I stand in awe of thy word. I'm not focused on that. It's happening. I'm not, my head's not buried in the sand. I'm acknowledging the reality in which I have to live, but I'm not going to focus on that reality. I'm going to focus rather on the word of God. I'm going to stand up in awe of this. That grieves me, but this is awesome. Thank you. You can have a seat. He's making a choice. We put a smorgasbord of food out and say, you may have what you want, but you may only choose one item. You may have as much as you want, but you may only choose one item. likely whatever you choose off of that table, unless you have some kind of restriction in diet or something, likely what you're going to choose off that table is whatever item you most like. Right? Let's say it's a smorgasbord of pies. You don't like pie at all. Now, well, Trinity won't be taking any more for us. Amen. There's a pumpkin pie, and there's a apple pie, there's a cherry pie, and there's a, what is some of the rest of you like? A cheesecake pie? What? Lemon meringue pie. Do they make cheesecake pies? Joelle, is there such a thing as a cheesecake pie? In your world? Yeah, okay. In Joelle's world, there's a cheesecake pie. Because Beth said it, Joelle's going to make it for the next Finger Food Fellowship. There we go. All right, there's cheesecake pie of some kind. And there it is. It's all laid out in front of you. And some of you are saying, I don't like that kind. You know, I went off the list, pumpkin pie, and Noah was like, yeah. And then I said apple pie, and Noah was like, oh yeah. His eyebrows went up. He was all excited. I said cherry pie, and he's like, no, seriously, come on, man. Lemon meringue. Now, isn't that Grandpa's favorite? What's Grandpa's favorite? Oh, banana cream pie. There you go. Okay, so as I list each one off, different groups of individuals in the room are going, that one! That's the one I want. I do not want the cheesecake pie. No. Yeah. I do not want lemon meringue. Ugh. I do not want that banana cream stuff. Ugh. I don't want pumpkin pie. Ugh. I'll take cherry or apple any day of the week. You know what I'm saying? See, but some of the rest of you out there where I'm going, yuck, are saying, what are you, crazy? You can keep your apple. Yeah, I can get apple and cherry pie anytime I want. I'm going after, you know, see, there's where it is. You make a choice. What I'm trying to point out by that is the psalmist was making a choice. He had the choice to focus on persecutors or focus on the Word of God. And he said, though this is going on, it's there, it's a reality, I'm not ignorant of it. And I am going to pray to God. Earlier in the psalm, he cries to God and asks for help, asks for mercy. But he says, ultimately, what I want my life to be about is that, the Word of God. And you know what? As he focuses on the Word of God, he describes it in multiple ways. Where did I put my Bible? Because it's not up here. Oh, there it is. He focuses on it in multiple ways. I'm going to have to write down where I set my Bible down now. All right? Here's what he says. I want you to see this. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. He says in verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. So what's he doing? He's in awe of the Word of God. He's rejoicing at the Word of God. He views the Word of God as a great treasure. He loves the Word of God and he praises God for the Word of God. Not just once a day, not just once a week or once a month or once a year, but multiple times every day. He's just in love with the Word and just saying, oh God, thank you so much for giving me this precious, precious treasure. He's so thrilled with it, so filled with the wonders of God's Word. He praises God for the awesome wonder of the Word of God. The psalmist had come to the place where he stood in complete awe of God's holy Word. He had come to the place where he recognized the awesome wonder of God's Word. In verse 162, I rejoice at thy Word as one that findeth great spoil. He'd come to recognize the awesome wonder of the spiritual light that he found in the Word of God. Psalm 19, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The awesome wonder of its awesome light to guide our way. He'd also come to recognize the awesome wonder of its spiritual sweetness. In Psalm 19, verse 103, he proclaimed, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. For this reason, the psalmist lifted up praise unto the Lord multiple times, each and every day. And we ought to do the same. God's Word is just as awesome today and more full. For the psalmist didn't even have the complete Old Testament. We have the completed Old and New Testament Scriptures before us, inspired and inscripturated in our hands, available to us to just spend time in the awesome wonder of the Word of God. The psalmist gave praise for that. But number five, the last and final. We should praise the Lord for the helpful ways of His Word. For the helpful ways of His Word. Psalm 19, verse 173 down to verse 175. He says, let thine hand help me. So he's asking for God's help. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. When? Why? And let thy judgments help me. Through all that we've already considered, God's Word has been given unto us servants of the Lord in order to help us live our lives the right way. That's what it's there for. The righteous wisdom to guide us. The transforming work to change us. The comforting warranty to do just that. Comfort us and give us hope. The awesome wonder in order to just fill our lives with God and fellowship with God and the wonders of God. It's all there to help us live our lives aright. It's been given to help us maintain the right thoughts and attitudes that we ought to have. It's been given to help us make the right decisions and plans in our lives. It's been given to help us resist and avoid all wrong ways. It's been given to help us grow in spiritual maturity. It's been given to guide us in the paths of righteousness and to guard us from the ways of sin. It's been given to help us walk in the abundant life of our Lord. And for this reason, the psalmist praised the Lord. And brethren, I say to you, for this reason, we ought to praise the Lord for the help of His Word. Notice what the psalmist says there. He calls out to God for help. He acknowledges, he says in verse 173, let thine hand help me. He says in verse 175, and let thy judgments help me. So he understands that the help he's going to receive is not just going to be God just miraculously doing things and circumstances and providentially changing the circumstances of life. But he realizes that the primary way God's going to help is by working in his own heart and life through the Word of God to help him walk the right way, to help him do the right thing, to help him be guided in the right direction for life. And notice how he puts it in verse 175. Let my soul live. Was he not alive? He's talking about living the fullness of the Christian life. He wouldn't have called it the Christian life in the Old Testament, but he's talking about living the fullness of the life that God, the Lord our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants us to live. Jesus himself said in the book of John, I'm come to give them life and to give it more abundantly. By what means do we live that abundant life? By abiding in Him and allowing Him, yea, His words to abide in us. The psalmist said, you help me, I'll live. I'll live the fullness of the Christian life you intend me to live. And when I live that fullness, I'll praise you for all the help that your word gave for me to live the fullness of the Christian life. Because that's why the Word of God's been given to us, to help us. I know a lot of individuals, a lot of believers, don't bother gleaning the help God's given. They just try to do it on their own. Go their own way, do their own thing. Figure it out. I'll figure it out on my own. I'll figure it out. You know, if we have the I'll figure it out on my own mentality, we're in trouble. God didn't build us to figure it out on our own. God built us to follow Him. And He gave us His Word so that we can learn what He's already said about the right way to do things and just follow it. God doesn't say, figure it out. God says, here's my word, follow it. And this word will help you to live your life aright. You know, for the 20 years that we've been here, that one of the things that we do for our graduates each year from high school, those who graduate from high school, we give them a gift. Amen? And every year, what do we give them? A Bible. Why? Because there's no better tool that we could give to a young person as they move from childhood to adulthood. There's no better tool that we could give them in order to enter adulthood and enter adulthood the right way and pursue the rest of their lives in that adulthood the right way. If they live the average lifespan of 70 to 80 years, they move into adulthood about the age of 18 to 20. They've got another 60 possible years of life, 50, 60, maybe more years of life to live. I realize some pass away earlier than that, but the average lifespan, even according to the Bible, 70 to 80 years. What better tool to put in their hand for the next 60 years of their life to do it the right way? Because God gave us His Word to help us live right. We have to view the gift of the Word of God as a great treasure. Amen? We ought to teach our children to view the Word of God as a great treasure. And everything that it says has wondrous, awesome truth to help us. And we ought to be thrilled with it. As I mentioned last week, we ought to be in love with the Word of God like the psalmist was. In love with it. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, as I prayed last week, so I know it's true this week as well. We'll praise You as much as the psalmist did for Your Word when we love it as much as the psalmist loved it. When we delight in it as much as the psalmist delighted in it. When we find it as awesome a treasure as the psalmist found it to be. When we get to that attitude, it'll be natural for us to praise You for the gift of Your Word. And so, Lord, my primary prayer is not just teach us to praise You for Your Word, but rather, Lord, teach us to love Your Word. Teach us to delight in Your Word. Teach us to find Your Word to be the treasure and to be the sweetness and to be the light that the psalmist found it to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.